What if the fights you're having aren't really about what you think they're about? A couple argues about being late to dinner, another about choosing the wrong dress, yet another about whose turn it is to put the kids to bed. On the surface, these seem like everyday frustrations. But beneath every one of these conflicts pulses a deeper, more primal question. Are you there for me? This insight revolutionized couples therapy and saved millions of relationships worldwide. Drawing on decades of research into how humans bond, we now understand that love isn't a mysterious emotion or a social convention. It's a biological imperative, as essential as food or shelter. When we feel emotionally disconnected from our partner, our brain's alarm system triggers the same panic response as physical danger. Those fights about trivial matters, they're desperate attempts to answer the most fundamental question in any relationship: do I matter to you? Understanding this changes everything about how we approach love, conflict, and connection. We've been told that mature adults should be self-sufficient, that needing others reveals weakness. Neuroscience proves otherwise. Loneliness doubles heart attack risk and suppresses immune function. Hostile marriages slow wound healing. Holding a loving partner's hand measurably reduces pain and stress responses in the brain. These aren't metaphors, they're biological realities. Psychiatrist John Bowlby's attachment theory revealed this truth through studying children separated from parents. Harry Harlow's experiments showed baby monkeys choosing cloth mothers offering comfort over wire mothers with food. Comfort trumped sustenance. Scientists assumed adults outgrew these needs. They were wrong. Adults exhibit identical attachment patterns, seeking closeness, wanting reassurance when upset, feeling distressed during separation. In our isolated world, where community ties have weakened, we now ask romantic partners to provide what previous generations received from entire villages. Love isn't weakness, it's survival. When relationships crumble, we blame surface issues: money, parenting, sex. These are symptoms. The real cause is emotional disconnection, the terrifying sense that your partner isn't there for you. What looks like a fight about chores is actually a desperate protest. Notice me. Am I important to you? Three destructive patterns trap couples. Find the bad guy involves mutual blame, each partner defining the other negatively to regain control. The protest polka, the most damaging pattern, features one partner becoming critical and demanding while the other grows defensive and distant. Couples trapped in this dance during early marriage face over 80% divorce rates within 5 years. Freeze and flee emerges when both partners shut down completely, appearing polite but emotionally dead inside. These patterns begin as protective strategies but become automatic responses that deepen disconnection. When Jim feels criticized, he withdraws to protect himself. His withdrawal triggers Pam's abandonment panic, making her pursue more aggressively. Each partner's defensive move triggers the other's worst fear. Neither is the villain. The pattern itself is the enemy. Raw spots are hypersensitive places in our hearts, formed when attachment needs have been repeatedly neglected. When triggered, they cause us to lose emotional balance and react defensively in ways that seem disproportionate to the situation. You can recognize a raw spot by sudden emotional shifts. Your stomach churns, your voice becomes shrill, or you go cold and still. Your intellect scrambles to interpret what these signals mean about your relationship's safety. Then you prepare to move toward your partner in desperate pursuit, away in protective withdrawal, or against them in angry attack. We resist confronting these vulnerabilities in a culture that prizes strength over softness. But here's the paradox: we cannot create secure connections without allowing our partners to fully know us, raw spots and all. These raw spots won't disappear. They're built-in attachment alarms. But talking about them transforms their power, giving both people the chance to respond with love rather than defense. Creating emotional safety requires answering, "Are you there for me?" Three essential components form the foundation of lasting love, captured by ARE, accessibility, responsiveness, and engagement. Accessibility means staying open despite insecurities, managing overwhelming emotions to remain connected. Responsiveness involves tuning into your partner's emotions, especially attachment needs and fears, offering comfort. Engagement refers to special attention reserved for loved ones, gazing longer, touching more, being emotionally present in ways you are with no one else. When Tim became accessible to Sarah, expressing his vulnerabilities with emotional engagement, she saw the man I fell in love with emerge from behind his defensive walls. Sarah eventually softened and shared her fear of abandonment. The breakthrough came when she risked asking, "Can you hold me?" When he embraced her, they created the secure connection both desperately sought. This transformation happens through 7 key conversations. Recognize destructive patterns as the enemy, identify raw spots triggering defensive reactions, de-escalate conflicts by claiming your contributions and sharing deeper emotions, reveal deepest fears and longings, ask directly for what you need, heal past wounds, and integrate sexuality with emotional connection. Relationship traumas can suddenly derail even the strongest connections. Helen's recall of Conrad leaving her alone after a potential cancer diagnosis wasn't just a hurt, it was a relationship trauma that overturned her world. These wounds devastate because they answer crucial questions negatively. Are you there for me when I'm most in need? Do you care about my pain? Such moments shatter our assumptions about love and dependability. The injuring partners typically aren't malicious. They simply don't recognize their mate's attachment needs or are consumed by their own anxiety. Ignoring these traumas proves ineffective. The resulting wariness limits emotional engagement for years. Healing requires 6 crucial steps. First, the hurt partner speaks their pain simply. Second, the injuring partner stays emotionally present and acknowledges their role. Third, couples share deeper vulnerabilities beneath the surface injury. Fourth, the injuring partner offers genuine remorse, not a dismissive "I'm sorry," but an engaged apology acknowledging the hurt, expressing personal shame, and offering reassurance. Fifth, the wounded partner directly asks for what they need now. Finally, the couple creates a new story, capturing how the injury happened and how they healed together. Though forgiven injuries never completely disappear, they become integrated as powerful demonstrations of renewal and resilience. Love requires active nurturing. It flourishes when spoken regularly, but withers when neglected. Partners must identify threats to connection and create personalized strategies. One couple commits to staying engaged rather than withdrawing. Another develops language to address betrayal triggers. Small moments carry profound impact. One partner melts at "my dear one." Another recalls unwavering support during depression. "You're my guy, no matter what." Rituals formalize recognition. Morning goodbyes, evening check-ins, weekly dates, physical affection reinforcing connection. When emotional safety exists, practical problems become manageable. As neurons that fire together wire together, positive interactions rewire our brains, creating pathways that reinforce connection. Love survives through continuous attention, the oxygen of relationships. You don't need wealth or brilliance, just presence. Our need for each other isn't weakness, but wisdom. Your relationship isn't a luxury, it's your well-being's foundation. Hold each other tight, speak attachment's language, and create the secure haven you both deserve.